when we first got, let's say, awareness that a magazine like this existed, the thing that came to our minds was, why don't more people know about it? We are really interested in the history, because the now and the current is covered quite well, in my opinion. The past informs, for me, the future.
How much is our daily life going to change in the next 5, 10, 25 years because of what you all and others are creating right now from a technological standpoint? All right, welcome everyone to another Tennis Worthy podcast, and certainly our guest today, very worthy of being here, Amit Sood, who runs Google Arts and Culture. And if you have been paying attention at all to what we're doing at the Hall of Fame, we got a lot of stuff happening. I'm actually sitting right now, Amit, in our new Hall of Famers gallery, which we just unveiled yesterday here in Newport. So I know most of this is on audio, but we can see each other, and hopefully the fans will be able to come up to Newport. Another thing that we've done with the help of Google and your team, Amit, over the last few years is digitize this incredible magazine from the early part of the 1900s, the American Lawn Tennis Magazine. And you all at Google helped us digitize all the magazines that we've been holding here at the Hall of Fame Museum. So first of all, I want to thank you and your team for doing that for us, because absolutely phenomenal what you did. We'll tell people how they can see it, of course. But I want you to tell us, first of all, about Google Arts and Culture. You're the man running the show there, how that started and how then eventually morphed into participating in something in the world of tennis. So thank you for joining us, and give us a little background on that, please.
Thank you so much, Patrick, and really happy to be, you know, on this show. Appreciate the invite. So, you know, to get started, you know, I'm in awe of what the International Tennis Hall of Fame is doing in general. And before I get into that, I'll just talk about Google Arts and Culture. I think, you know, we are a nonprofit initiative within the company here, and our aim is to provide access and information to cultural topics around the world, but primarily partnering with museums, archives, foundations. We started off doing mostly programs with the MoMA, the Tate, the British Museum, Getty. And this was really to digitize artworks and allow anybody who had a phone or a computer to get access to these. And that was around 12 years ago or so. But since then, Google Arts and Culture has been providing its technology and capabilities to non-visual art organizations. And I think sports history is such a fascinating cultural topic that we started investing in this idea of telling people about sports history, because it can help inform the future generations, but also get people who may not know much about the cultural significance of the sport excited. And that's, to be honest, how we joined forces with you and your teams at the International Tennis Hall of Fame.
You know, it was so cool being at the unveiling, which we did at Google headquarters in New York City. You're based in London, so you were incredible to show up there. We appreciate that. And we had a big team from the Hall of Fame there. But not only did I meet so many people from, as you mentioned, some of the biggest museums in the world about the that attended this, but it was also cool to hear about the history of how you got into sports, because it was in Australia, I believe, where you first heard from the Australians, because, you know, tennis, Australian tennis is a huge part of Hall of Fame and tennis history. And I go there every year for the Australian Open, and they are tennis mad and a sports mad country. So tell our listeners how that got started and how it was for the Australians that said, hey, you should look into one of the biggest sports in Australia. How did that happen?
Yeah. So, you know, while we were bringing on performing arts archives, visual arts archives, you know, allowing people to zoom into artworks, learn about artworks, we traveled over to Australia to meet museums there. Some amazing art collections in Australia, absolutely beautiful. And we ended up talking to various people, and they told us, well, you know, we do love art, but we love sports more. And don't you think sports deserves the same treatment that you've given artworks in terms of storytelling, preservation, and digitization? And so we said, sure, we would love to do sports history. And I think that's when I got taken to, you know, the journey of what sports means to a nation like Australia. And of course, being, you know, both a tennis and a cricket fan, it started with tennis and cricket, but then I got into, you know, Australian football, I got into swimming, I got into, you know, this whole concept of a nation that has a cultural passion for sports. So Australia, Brazil, Mexico, various other countries started asking us to talk about their sports history.
Amazing. And, you know, Australian history and cricket is amazing, as you mentioned, in India and Pakistan, in so many countries as well. But tennis is huge in Australia. And of course, all the great players from Rod Laver and Lou Hoad and Inukum, all these guys that dominated tennis in the 60s and the era when tennis went from amateur to professional. All right, let's go now to the American Lawn Tennis Magazine, because it was sort of like the Sports Illustrated of tennis at that time. And of course, now everything's changed with companies like Google and Amazon and Apple and all the technology, right, that's out there. But back in the, you know, from the early 1900s until 1951, American Lawn Tennis was really the only game in town when it came to talking about tennis, and not just the game, but also the cultural aspects of tennis. And you, your team at Google was able to sort of put that in a beautiful organization of, you know, different issues, you know, different times and how it affected women's rights, so on and so forth. What was it like for your team to go through these magazines and actually put this together so that we could all enjoy it on our computers, on our laptops, on our phones?
Well, you know, so I think when we first got, let's say, awareness that a magazine like this existed, the thing that came to our minds was, why don't more people know about it? And how can you take insights from this magazine that might be relevant to inspire people today? I think that was a very important thing for us to think about. So the stage one, obviously, you know, was figuring out how to digitize this large, you know, publication of, you know, magazines. I think over 30,000 pages or so had been digitized. And once we started looking at what's been digitized, we were able to apply technology to understand, okay, what's talking about women's history in the 1920s, or what's talking about, you know, the history of certain equipment that's used in tennis and the historical nature of it. And I think huge credit to the curators at the International Tennis Hall of Fame, who kind of acted as, you know, guides for us to figure, because we are engineers and we just were like, oh, wow, there's a lot of content here, but how do you make sense of it? And I think the curators then came together with the engineers to start crafting a narrative that the public could understand and give access to. So, you know, Serving Tennis History, which is the name of the platform, is absolutely, the way I look at it is, you can spend 5 minutes on it and get inspired, or you can spend an entire weekend on it and still not have finished what it's like. It's a PhD in this magazine's history, so to speak. And of course, applying new technologies like AI allowed us to use something called Notebook LM at Google to create an incredible data insights approach to the magazine.
Yeah, how does that work, that AI in the notebook is specifically? Does it just, it automatically kind of puts topics together so that you can create then sort of these mini stories within the story?
So I think the way I look at it is, you know, if you're first coming to the program, I think, you know, you go to Serving Tennis History, you read a little bit, you see some beautiful imagery, and you get some appreciation for the magazine and what's happened. But then you really want to go deep. You start deep diving. And you open up Notebook LM, and we've put all the issues into Notebook LM. Now, Notebook LM will only use information from the Lawn Tennis Magazine. So it's kind of like a ring-fenced AI experience. And you can start asking questions. Like, you could ask them questions about, tell me about the key women who changed tennis in the 1920s. And instantly, it has extracted information and provided that to you. You can also create an audio narrative. You can look at something where it's like a mind map. So I just feel like, from a research perspective, the notebook AI integration that's happened in the project is phenomenal, because even curators who may know everything are going to find something new.
Yeah, so you bring up a great point about the curators here at the Hall of Fame, because they spend hours and hours, as your team did, putting this together. And now I'm sitting here, as I mentioned earlier, in our brand new gallery, the Hall of Famers Gallery, which really kind of brings the modern world together with the way we've been able to digitize just even here in the museum. And of course, I'm a geek of tennis history, Amit. So I love, you know, the old rackets and the old balls and the cans of balls and the old outfits and the history of the sport. And you guys and gals at Google were able to do that as well with what you did with Extracted from the Magazine. And I only think about how much more we could do with you guys because we're so appreciative of what you all did. And that's only up until the early 1950s. And there's so much more that can be done. But other projects that you all are looking at, are there any other sports that you're looking into right now? Because I know you focus mostly on cultural things, as you said, on museums and so on and so forth. Are there any other sports that you at Google are interested in as well?
Well, it's very funny, right? Because when we finished the tennis project, the first question I asked is, hey, do you want to do something on, I can't pronounce it very well, but paddle, you know? And I was like, okay, I didn't know much about it because, you know, it's kind of a more recent craze. And I think people were like, should we do like a tennis archive versus paddle? What are the similarities? So I felt like people immediately realized that we are not going to do paddle for now, at least. But I want to focus, the way I look at it, I think on tennis, we're just getting started. I think we want to focus on enriching the archive. Hopefully with your help and, you know, people who are listening to the podcast, if they have ideas, you know, bringing in more archival organizations who want to share the stories about tennis history. We are really interested in the history because the now and the current is covered quite well, in my opinion. But we're really, the past informs, for me, the future. And focusing on tennis, we've done a lot with football, with soccer. So we're going to continue on that. We did some good work in Australia on cricket, which we hope to continue. And I think the next real big opportunity is to start looking at sports as a cultural, you know, experience, which it is for people, but talking about it in that curatorial, you know, experience as you would do with an artwork to explain what it means to the individual, the history. So what's next for us is really focusing on sports history as a cultural narrative. Even more.
Yeah, it might be interesting too, not to give that you need any ideas for me, but, you know, having traveled the world playing tennis and covering tennis for my whole life, really, you know, tennis is right up there, as you said, with cricket, with soccer, football, as the most global sports. But when you think about like specific sports and specific countries, you think of Brazil and soccer, and, you know, it's almost like a religion, they say there, in certain European countries. And then, you know, there's other European countries in, you know, Scandinavia, where maybe it's skiing, maybe it's ice hockey. Yeah,
exactly.
But it might be really interesting to kind of dive deep in like a singular sport in a singular place. Is that something that maybe is on the map for you guys?
Yeah, we definitely are looking for partners. I think the way we work is because we are not, so to speak, curatorially knowledgeable. We are more a bunch of geeks, technology enthusiasts who want to bring the worlds of technology and these stories together. So the way we work is we rely on partners such as yourself who have the knowledge, but also the archives. But I'm very keen, for example, personally, we started a small project on surfing and I'm really keen to tell surfing history. And, you know, because surfing history is not documented very well because it was, you know, it was not an organized experience in 50 years ago. So we're starting, we've done a little bit on surfing history. There's a huge opportunity to do more for, I think, sports that were not very organized in the past. That's mm-hmm. where I think there's a great, there's also something which I love in Mexico that we're being asked to do, which is to talk about indigenous sports. And these are not, let's say, you know, global sport phenomena.
Maybe not even played outside of that sort of region, right?
Exactly. And so we started documenting, you know, certain sports in Mexico that are only played in one state, but they trace their lineage to hundreds and hundreds of years back. And when I go, for example, to, let's say, India, we have sports like that are not commercial blockbusters, but are played in the rural areas and could have been the precursor to modern day sports, right? So I think sports history is very vast as an idea.
You know, I was thinking, you got me thinking about tennis now because My brother actually did a show a couple of years ago that was led by Peyton Manning's team. You know, it's called McEnroe's Places. Yeah, Peyton's Places. And one of the things was about sort of the history of how tennis began. And he actually came here to the Hall of Fame, and we did on our famous court here, where the first tennis match was ever played in the United States, was here in Newport. So we did like a kind of a version of what the game was had started. It was a higher net. The rackets were a little bit different. It was before, you know, the different measurements now that we use in regular tennis as we know it. But if you go even further back, you know, to the French culture of the kings, and, you know, apparently that's, you know, there's always a debate between did tennis start in England or France, right? Because they used to call it jeu de paume. And we might have to get you guys to get into that, because there's a lot of controversy about who exactly started it. And I think that would be really cool to dive into that.
Well, there's a great story on jeu de paume on the Serving Tennis History platform. And I think it's, you know, it's like one of those things like who invented pasta? You know, where did pasta come from, right? So I think the good news is the more people ask these questions, it means they're more engaged in understanding yes. about the sport. And so, you know, I'm up for the challenge of trying to answer those questions.
All right, let me ask you just generally now, because about technology, because as you said, you're a geek when it comes to technology. I pretty much know nothing other than I know how to turn my phone on. And if it doesn't, Google doesn't work, I don't know how to find out any information. But with the world changing as rapidly as it is, and you showed us a little bit in New York and we did the unveiling of the AI, it's just incredible. How much is our daily life going to change in the next 5, 10, 25 years because of what you all and others are creating right now from a technological standpoint?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's so many brilliant people working across the fields of both AI and, you know, I view myself and my team more as kind of like the bridge between the external partnerships world to get people to talk to each other. Because I think one of the things we feel with technology is that technology can be powerful, but it can be even more impactful and powerful if it's done in collaboration with artists, with museums, and with various types of partners, right? Because you get different perspectives. You don't get just a single perspective of how the technology should evolve. And so I think that's quite important to continue those conversations. I think the change is quite tremendous, but it is also one where I think the biggest beneficiary will be, I hope, learning. Because one of the things there is obviously economical aspects to, you know, new technologies, which I'm not going to cover because I'm not very qualified over there. But what I see about this shift happening is how it's going to transform how people interact when they want to learn about things, whether that's learning about, you know, how to do XYZ in your house, which is very practical, or it could be learning in education. So I think it's going to be one of those most significant learning shifts that's going to happen. And that's where I think there's a lot of opportunity for partnering with people who have that knowledge and sharing it.
All right. So I'm getting ready shortly to head over to Europe to the French Open, to Roland Garros, which I'm very excited about. I know that we're planning on seeing you with the Hall of Fame team when we come to London for Wimbledon. So I just need to know right now, Mick, because I know we talked about this a little bit when we were there in New York together. Are you in? Are you coming? Because we want you to come as our guest to the All England Club. They're going to roll out the red carpet for us, and we're going to roll out the red carpet for you.
Well, I'm coming to get my share of the strawberries.
And the cream. Don't forget about the cream.
And the cream. No, I'm really looking forward to seeing you here in London, and hopefully also, you know, hosting you potentially here at Google and talking about your experience here. So, you know, very exciting summer ahead for tennis.
Yeah, we appreciate all that you did and your team did. And I encourage everyone, you can go to our Hall of Fame website. You can search on, of course, on Google and find out where you can see this great history of the early part of the 1900s in the history of tennis. And I hope, Amit, that this is only, that we're only in the first set of what our partnership together, because I could see this go on the distance, going to big five setter, which would be amazing for tennis.
I'm not retiring anytime soon from this.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for joining us here on the Tennis Worthy Podcast. And we'll look forward to seeing you down the road this summer. That's Amit Sood from Google Arts and Culture. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.